I've decided not to do a bit before the theme music this week. It's just, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, but it's my favourite part. I'm not doing it, okay? I don't want to. I don't think you need one. I think we can just, I think the show on its own is fine without the bit before the theme music. So no bit before the theme music this week. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, says he, my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
I'm a cheap, lying, no good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is!
Well, that's going a bit strong, isn't it? I mean, I can handle being called an angry elf, and I can handle being told I've got the IQ of a rabbit, but that list there, I'm barely 50% of those things. Okay, maybe 60 to 70% of those things. Okay, maybe I'm all of those things, but there's no excuse, is there? This is my podcast, and that's how I get treated. Can't we just go back to being an angry elf? I'll tell you what, I am an angry elf now. Let's do that bit. I'm having that bit. Here it comes.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Okay, that's much better. Merry Christmas, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Let's do the interactive bit. Have you got a pet cat? I see. And scene. Easy one, wasn't it? Right, so, boys and girls, I've got a packed show for you. But before I get into it, I just want to start by saying I got an email from Benji Pearson. He sent me a picture. Now, he'd been in his local Target, and they had a kiosk there of Marks and Spencer's gifts. Yeah, not a big area. Well, you know how big a kiosk is. Imagine a kiosk. Now, I'm sure you've heard me talk about Marks and Spencer's before on the podcast. Marks and Spencer's is like one of the biggest department stores in the UK. At Christmas, everyone goes crazy for their food because their food, the slogan is, it's not just food. This is M&S food, and the secret is, it is just food. But some people just seem to think it's incredible food. I won't name names, but I know someone who does do their shopping in M&S. If I did that, that would probably triple my shopping bill. Seriously, it's really expensive. I mean, the quality probably is better, but also, I'm a dirty cheapskate who doesn't care what I eat. So there's that. Anyway, these gifts, it says gifts from London, and then it says, like, you know, M&S crap. And it's got, like, teddy bears dressed up as royal guardsmen that stand outside Buckingham Palace. But then what it's got is these tins of shortbread, and they're quite cool. We've got a couple, okay? Not got any shortbread in anymore, but we've bought them from previous years. And they're a musical box, and some of them light up as well. They're quite expensive, and they also sell chocolates in a box, but the chocolate box lights up as well, like a Christmas festive scene. So I tell you what, if you're in your local Target and you want to blow a load of money, then you could do worse than getting one of their Christmas music box things. The one we've got is really cool. It's in the shape of like a cone, but it's like decorated like a Christmas tree. So it looks like a Christmas tree. And the bottom bit of it, the stand, it twists around. You twist that and that's like winding up the music box. And then you let it go and it turns round and plays a Christmas song. Yeah. So if you've got loads of money and you want to blast it on something you don't need, that's the place to go, kids. That's the place to go. Thanks for sending that through, Benji. I don't think I've got anything else to cover. Actually, that's not true. I do think I've got other stuff to cover, but I can't remember what it is. So I'm just going to start the show with this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Boys and girls, I have had a whole bunch of people send in their Christmas quiz scores from last episode. Do you remember? I scored 8. Now, here's the scores in reverse order. Andy FRM, I don't know what that means, Andy. I don't know what his full name is, but it just says Andy FRM. He scored 6, as did Jack Unverforth. With 7 points is Frank. Now, I think he sent in a message before, and I think I pronounced his name wrong. It's spelled T-A-L-L-E-Y, and he's put, it's pronounced T-A-A-A-A-L-L-E-Y. Right, how are you going to pronounce that? Tarly or Tarly? Yeah, and then he's put underneath, it rhymes with Sally. That's just T-A-L-L-Y, Frank Tally. Thanks for that. Also with 7 points was Gerald Case Blanchard and Benji Pearson. He got 7, but with 8 points matching me, annoyingly. I'm a bit annoyed about that. I like to think I'm head and shoulders above. I'm not. I'm neck and neck. That was Mike Westphal and Pamela Wootton. Do you want me to say your name again, Pamela? I know she likes hearing me say Pamela Wootton in my awful English accent. Pamela Wootton. And with 8 points. And do you know what? This is the first time he sent his score in, even though every episode he sends me 2 segments. It's Bob Baker. He scored 8. Well done, Bob. But here's the interesting one. Now, here's the thing. Pretty much everyone that sort of said anything about their score would say, I didn't get the one about Shawaddy Waddy, which was a song called Hey Mr. Christmas. And this guy put, I got Hey Mr. Christmas. His name's Martin Goodman. And Martin Goodman scored, are you ready? 4. Yeah, 4. Of all the people that sent in their scores, I'm pretty sure he's the only one that got the Shawaddy Waddy question, but he also got the lowest. But well done for sending that through, Martin, and thank you for letting me know. So, that was last episode's quiz. This is this episode's quiz. I've got 10 questions, then I'm going to give you 10 answers. Then you're going to go, oh, I can't believe I only got blah, blah, whatever you scored. I don't know what your score is. And then you're going to email me the number that you scored. Okay, sounds fair. Let's get started. Question number 1. In 2021, which pizza company introduced its first ever Christmas pizza called the Festive One with topping of turkey marinated in sage and onion with Cumberland sausage and crispy bacon? What pizza company is that? Question number 2. Which Welsh poet wrote A Child's Christmas in Wales, a piece of prose which is an anecdotal reminiscence of a young boy's Christmas experiences? And you're probably thinking, how am I supposed to know that? I don't know nothing about nothing. No, you probably don't. But he's a really famous Welsh poet. Let's just say that. That might help you. Might not. I don't know. Question number 3. In the novel A Christmas... This is an easy one. If you're upset about the last one, you're going to like this one. In the novel A Christmas Carol, what is the name of Scrooge's overworked and underpaid clerk? Easy one, isn't it? See? Feel better about yourself? Good. Question number 4. Which singer who fronted the Pogues... Yeah, that's helping. ...was born in Kent on Christmas Day 1957? Yeah. And they also had a big Christmas song as well, didn't they, the Pogues? Yeah. So who was that? What's his name? In 1960, Adam Faith had a hit with a song called Lonely What in a Christmas Shop. Okay? What was that lonely thing that was in a Christmas shop? What was it? Tell me. Tell me now. Have you even heard of Adam Faith? He had a hit with this. What do you want if you don't want money? What do you want if you don't want him? Me, 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 me. Yeah, he was doing an impression of Beaker from The Muppets. Sorry. Right, next one. Kerstman, spelled K-E-R-S-T-M-A-N, is which European country's version of Santa Claus? Okay, so in what country is Kerstman their Santa Claus? Okay. Okay, this next question is double Christmas. Which American female singer with a very distinctive voice who famously recorded the song Santa Baby in 1953 died on Christmas Day in 2008? And I don't remember that, but there you go. Yeah, who was that? Okay, next one. Which Irvin Berlin song was first heard in the 1942 film Holiday Inn? Now, here's the thing. Irvin Berlin wrote pretty much all the songs in Holiday Inn, so don't think you're going to get away with just listing any of the songs in Holiday Inn, okay? There's one song in it that's Christmas-themed. What is that song? I think you knew that anyway. Next one. Which fast food chain in 2021 had reindeer treats on their menu, which were described as an on-the-go carrot snack bag? Yeah. Reindeer treats. It's just a bag of carrots, really, but they changed the name for Christmas. Well done. That's good, isn't it? 2 questions about fast food chains in 1 quiz. I tell you what, you go quiz after quiz without a single question about fast food chains, and then you get 2. Lucky people. Oh, it's the last one. In 2018, Walker's Crisps, in a lot of countries it's called Lay's, introduced which flavour of crisp for the Christmas season? Was it Brussels sprout, turkey and cranberry, or mince pie? Okay? Okay, that's your 10 questions. And here come your 10 answers. Right, so that first one was which pizza company introduced this first ever Christmas pizza? The Festive One with turkey and a sausage and a sage and onion and all that crap. That was, of course, Domino's. Yeah, easy one, that one, if you knew the answer. Question number 2. That Welsh poet Now, about 16 years ago, they did a TV version of this, A Child's Christmas in Wales, and it was a really good special. I really enjoyed it. I'd recorded it, and I had it for years. We kept it. I haven't got it anymore, but I wish I did. And I've also read the poem as well, and that's really good as well. So anyway, the answer was, of course, Dylan Thomas. Question number three. In the novel A Christmas, Bob Cratchit, isn't it? I don't even have to read out the full question. You know the answer. It's Bob Cratchit. Of course it is. Question number whatever. Which singer who fronted the Pogues was born in Kent on Christmas Day 1957? Well, that was, of course, Shane McGowan. And sadly, he passed away last year, didn't he, on the 30th of November. Do you know what? I didn't know he was born in Kent. And I've had a look into it. Apparently, he only lived in Ireland for 6 years. Yeah. And then he moved back to the UK. But he was born in Kent because they were on holiday visiting relatives. And then he lived in Tipperary in Ireland. And then when he was six, he came back and lived in the UK. There you go. Right, next one. In 1960, Adam Faith had a hit with a song called Lonely What in a Christmas Shop. Yeah, it was Pup. A Lonely Pup in a Christmas Shop. Now, I'll tell you something, boys and girls. I haven't been in many Christmas shops lately. But whenever I have not once seen a puppy or pup of any kind in there. Don't forget, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. So I don't know what's going on with this Christmas shop. But there you go, he's a very lonely pup in that Christmas shop. Right, in which European country is Santa Claus called Kerstman? That is the Netherlands and Dutch-speaking Belgium. Yeah, which I don't get at all. And I'm going to have to look into that because I thought it was Sinterklaas in the Netherlands. I covered it in an episode and I was talking to Jeannie about it because she spent some Christmases in the Netherlands as well. So it's the first time I've seen it come up as Kerstman to the Netherlands, unless they've got two, unless they've got like St. Nicholas. But that doesn't make sense, does it? Because Santa Claus means St. Nicholas. I don't know what's going on. I'll get back to you on it. Right, question whatever. Which American female singer with a very distinctive voice, who famously recorded the song Santa Baby in 1953, died on Christmas Day 2008? That was, of course, Eartha Kitt. Yes, Eartha Kitt. Next one. Which Irving Berlin song was first heard in the 1942 film Holiday Inn? That was, of course, White Christmas. Yeah, you knew that, didn't you? Of course you did. Everyone knew that. Right, which fast food chain in 2021 had reindeer treats on their menu, which were described as an on-the-go carrot snack bag? Here's a question for you, right? They're calling them reindeer treats. Do you reckon even one of those carrots was fed to a reindeer of any kind? And when I say of any kind, I'm including like inflatable reindeer, little plastic ones you've got hanging on your tree. I'll accept any reindeer. I bet there were no reindeer in the whole country that even saw one of those carrots. So you tell me, are they reindeer treats or are they a poor substitute for French fries? Well, I think we all know the answer to that question, boys and girls. And that's not part of the quiz. Okay, so I'm recording this the day after the episode went live, and it turns out that somehow I forgot to give the answer to this question. Thank you to Scott Newman for Tinsel Tunes for pointing it out to me. The answer, of course, is McDonald's. I think you all knew that, but yeah, I failed to tell you. But I've done it now. Thanks, Scott. Let's carry on with the quiz. Last question. Right. In 2018, Walkers introduced what flavour crisp for the Christmas season? Was it Brussels sprout, turkey and cranberry, or mince pie? Well, of course, turkey and cranberry is blooming wrong, isn't it? Which is what I went with. Yeah, it's bloody Brussels sprout, isn't it? Brussels sprout flavoured crisps. How did I not get that? I'm a bit annoyed. I'll tell you what I actually thought. Right, I gave it two answers. I said all three, because Walkers often bring out more than one flavour at Christmas. And then I said, but if it's not all three, I'm having turkey and cranberry. Well, I was wrong on both counts, wasn't I, boys and girls? So there's your 10 questions. Do you want to know what I scored? I scored 8 again. Yeah, a respectable 8. Well, in my case, it's not respectable. He's downright degenerate, actually. I scored a degenerate 8. Yeah. I'm a bit disappointed with him, to be honest. I said to him, put some trousers on. He wouldn't. This makes no sense. Can we move on? So that was the quiz. You know what to do, boys and girls. Send me an email with one number in it. That's all you got to do. I don't need a subject title. I don't need anything. I just need the number, okay? You can do it. You can do it. Loads of you did it last time. You can do it this time. Send it in and you'll hear your name and your score. And if you scored like 1 or 0, you still got to send it in. Don't be like, oh, but I only scored 0. I don't want people to know how thick I am. Don't let it bother you. You'll probably never meet these people that listen to my show. Let's face it, there's only 3 of you out there. So I say send it in and be proud. The email address, of course, is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
So I'm at the point in my life where I'm starting a bucket list. And the first thing on it, filling that bucket with a drink. I recently discovered the Christmas University Challenge, which is a British quiz show that airs on the BBC Two during the holiday season. It is a spin-off of University Challenge, and it has famous alumni from British universities competing in a Christmas-themed quiz. The University Challenge is a spin-off itself, as it is the British version of the College Bowl competition from the U.S. But we didn't have a special Christmas version. The contest started here on the radio in 1953, and then it moved to television, where it ran until 1970. It was revived in 2020 with American football star Peyton Manning as the host, and this version lasted until 2022. The major difference is the UK version had distinguished alumni like authors, politicians, and journalists who would compete, whereas in the States, we just used actual college students. And this leads to the other Do You Hear What I Hear difference, as it's all in the name. You see, ours was a College Bowl, but the English adaptation was a University Challenge. You see, in Britain, college means something totally different than what it means in the U.S. Here, college is another word for university, but college is not synonymous or the equivalent of university in the UK. The term college for the Brits refers to the 2 years of education after what we call high school. UK colleges are for students aged between 16 and 18 who then graduate from there to go on to university. Colleges can also be vocational, where students would learn practical skills for trades, such as hairdressing, caterers, plumbing, animal care. This would be similar to community colleges in the U.S. Now, to get into a uni, which is a contraction of university, one has to get a certain amount of additional learning. So many people go on to a college either to get a certificate that qualifies them for a trade or to get better marks so they can get into uni. This period is known as the sixth form, and for students planning to attend university, it prepares them for their entrance exams. These colleges do not offer degrees and are just a two-year program between high school and uni. Now, just to confuse things, universities such as Oxford, Cambridge, and even the University of London, they have subdivisions called colleges, but they are all part of the university. So if you look at the University of Oxford, for example, it has 39 different colleges or schools. Each college has its own facilities, but the degree doesn't come from the college. It is awarded by the university. So together they are considered one university. And this is all modeled on the system for how the medieval churches, cathedrals, and abbeys taught the priests and the monks and the nuns, who were the lawyers, doctors, and nurses at the time. Now, America's first and most prestigious colleges, think Princeton, Harvard, Yale, they are all based on the English university system. However, they are just one unit. Both the college and the university are joined together, serving as the school and granting the degree. Thus, we just referred to them as a college. I know, it seems like you need an advanced degree just to understand all this. But what do I know? I only went to college, not to uni. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Well, that's another fantastic piece from Bob. I do not, I didn't have a clue about any of that. So, yep, I'm feeling enlightened now. I feel like I've been to university, or as you might call it, I've forgotten already. Anyway, thanks for that one, Bob. It'll be back in a bit, but right now we're doing this. Boys and girls, I know I make a big old thing about how naff the jokes are every episode, but this one I think is pretty clever. It's not particularly funny, but it's very clever. I'm not expecting anyone to wet their pants because it's so funny, or wet your underwear. I'm not expecting any soilage of any kind in your underwear due to this joke, but I think you're going to like it anyway. You might smirk and you might smile inwardly. That's what I'm hoping for with this one. Are you ready? Where is the best place to hide Christmas presents? In the mouth of a gift horse. You see, what I like there is it's a gift horse. You know, you say don't look a gift horse in the mouth. That's the joke, right? But it's a gift horse. So you're hiding the presents in the gift horse's mouth because it's gifts. I just shouldn't have to explain it to you. I still like it.
It's craptacular.
Now, boys and girls, this is normally the bit where I go, oh, we haven't had one of these in a while. Well, we have had one of these recently because the gentleman that sent this one in also sent in the previous one. And his name is Rob Taylor. And let me tell you something else. He's also sent me another one, which I'll be reading out in a future episode. So, yeah, I'm just going to get straight into it. Picture the scene. The year is 2014, and after years of temping jobs and working for various local businesses, I've started my first role in local government, working on the phones. This is from Rob's point of view, not my point of view. I've never worked for local government. So as I continue, just remember, I'm telling it as Rob. Okay. It was a miserable job, but made more bearable by forming friendships with those who you work with. And this is where my story begins. A few weeks after starting in the role, I was told that some weeks a handful of people went to the pub after work on a Friday. I threw myself into this social merriment and became friends with these people, one in particular, Alex, who was a character and a lot of fun. To this day, he remains one of my best friends. Drinks would flow each week, as well as conversations and stories which in time became more outrageous and hilarious. Alex in particular, a very well-spoken chap, would regale such tales, and from here, work would become more tolerable. So, Christmas was approaching and the office was thrust into some sort of semblance of cheer and goodwill for all. As part of this, we were encouraged to be a part of Secret Santa, which presumably was meant to lift morale and spirits. Unfortunately, the girl who organised the Secret Santa had her name drawn by Alex. Knowing that I am a huge fan of Christmas, Alex asked me if I had any ideas, as he didn't throw himself into the festive season as much as I did. I thought about this for a few moments, and as I didn't really know the girl, I foolishly suggested that he bought something he would like to receive as a present. This turned out to be a mistake. On the day of the Secret Santa, Alex arrived slightly earlier than usual with an enormous bag of gifts, and he went into the gents' toilets to wrap them up. A few minutes later, he emerged with a huge present under his arm, ready to place it in the sack for the grand revealing of gifts later. Fast forward to lunchtime, and the gifts were being distributed. I was slightly concerned as I was sat next to the Secret Santa organiser, who had labelled herself the Holiday Funmeister at this point. As it was handed to her, I realised this was also a very heavy gift, and a look of excitement shot across her face. This soon changed as she opened the gift to reveal what Alex described as a festive bounty. As the wrapping paper was hurriedly discarded, I sat in awe as she unveiled a jar of pickled onions, a jar of pickled eggs, a jar of pickled gherkins, a tin of sardines, a chocolate orange. I had to turn away as whilst I was laughing, she was crying, stating, I can't even have the chocolate orange as I'm lactose intolerant. Alex feigned ignorance as to, I'll tell you what though, a chocolate orange, that's enough, isn't it? I'll be happy with that. Anyway, sorry. Alex feigned ignorance as to who had bought the gift as the senior members of the office rallied around in a panic at lunchtime to go and get her something she would like from Superdrug or Boots. That's a couple of pharmacies or drugstores, as you might call them, that we've got in the UK. I left the job the next year, and sadly, I am unaware if Alex has ever done Secret Santa since. Goodness. A jar of pickled onions, pickled eggs, and pickled gherkins. Do you know what? I've had all of those. Pickled eggs, I've never seen the attraction. I don't get it. Tin of sardines, is that Christmassy? I don't know. It's like he'd been to the local pub and bought them. Maybe not the sardines and the chocolate orange. Anyway, goodness. Whew. Thank you for sending that one through, Rob. I like that very much. He's got another one, like I said, so that'll either be coming up in the next episode or the episode after. If you have got a story of a naff Christmas present that you've received or you've given or someone you know has received, and don't pretend you haven't got a story like that, because of course you have. Everyone's got these stories. Why haven't you sent it in to me? Huh? Is it something I've done? No? Well, then send the blooming thing in. You've got the email address. I gave it to you a minute ago. It's totalchristmas@gmail.com. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, I got an email from Benjamin Hall. I haven't heard from him in a little while, so it was nice to hear from him. And he's put, are Christmas television commercials a big thing in your part of the world? As a kid, I loved when Christmas commercials started coming on and a handful of them got replayed year after year. I assume we got different commercials, but some were probably the same, right? Anyway, here is my definitive ranking of the best Christmas commercials of all time. Each are easily found on YouTube. I have watched all of these adverts, and I'm not going to judge his top five because this is a definitive ranking. But I thought I'd share them with you so you know what the definitive top five Christmas commercials in the States of all time are. He starts off with a few honourable mentions, and they are Scrooge eating Honey Nut Cheerios, Campbell's Soup, the Melting Snowman one, and Apple's Frankenstein's Monster advert. I quite like that Apple one. It reminded me a lot of the adverts we get in the UK at that time of year. Anyway, here are the top five. So, number five, the Coca-Cola Polar Bears. Yeah, we get the Coca-Cola Polar Bears. Coca-Cola Polar Bears. Yeah, at Christmas we get that, but also we get the old holidays are coming, holidays are coming. You know, with the truck, the Coca-Cola truck. I'm guessing that's got to be a thing in the States and possibly other countries, but that is actually a big thing in the UK. And this big truck drives around. And yeah, I remember one year, I don't know if my wife went, but I know her sister went along just to see this truck and possibly get free cans of Coke. I don't know. Anyway, that happened. We do get the Coca-Cola Polar Bears ones. Number four is Fruity Pebbles, when Fred shares his Fruity Pebbles with Barney. And I watched that one. It's a nice advert. Never seen it before in the UK. We don't get Fruity Pebbles in the UK. So, yeah. Number three, we have the M&M's They Do Exist advert. You know where the M&M's are staying up to find Santa Claus. Then Santa Claus sees them. He's like, they do exist. Yeah, I've seen that one. We've had that one in the UK. Next one is the Hershey's Kisses bell ringing. Well, you don't even get Hershey's Kisses in the UK. Actually, you can get Hershey bars in some places, not many, but yeah, Hershey's Kisses, you can't get them. But I did watch the advert, it was nice enough. And the definitive number one Christmas advert in the US is the Budweiser Clydesdale horses, apparently. Yeah, and I watched a couple of those. I think that's like a series of adverts that's been going on since possibly the 80s, and I watched a few of them. They were all right. I didn't know they were number one, but apparently, according to my mate Benjamin Hall, they are. So there you go, kids. I thought I'd just run through that. I appreciated him sending them through, and it was interesting because only two of them I was familiar with. Yeah, there you go. If you want to send in your adverts, you can. I probably won't read them out like that, but I might sort of like, you know, if I get enough, I might do like a top 10 of everyone's. But yeah, thanks for that, Benjamin. I really appreciate it. Now, he said, are Christmas television commercials a big thing in your part of the world? And I can tell you, yes, they are. Probably, I'd say maybe like 10 or 15 years it's been going on. And we've got a few companies that do big Christmas adverts every year. The biggest one that everyone talks about is the John Lewis advert. John Lewis is a big department store. They do a big Christmas advert every year. And frequently, the music that's playing in the background is released as a single. And they've had at least two number ones, possibly more. They get a really popular song, do a cover version of it, and slow it down. And yeah, that's the Christmas advert. Yeah. So that's your big one, is the biggest one. Sainsbury's also do a really big one. And every year they're different as well. So it's not like they keep playing the same adverts. I think back in maybe the 80s and 90s, they might have shown the same adverts every year. But no, that's not a thing. Now it's like, who's got the biggest and best advert? Yeah. I'm just trying to think who else does big ones. Boots tend to, that's like a chemist or drugstores, you'd call it. Aldi, I covered an Aldi one. In fact, you know, on Merry Britsmas, Adam Parker, he's done a couple of episodes right before Christmas, and he's got other podcasters in to review the Christmas adverts. Yeah, I did it one time. He only asked me once because I did such an awful job of it that he's like, I'm not getting him back in. Actually, my kids helped as well, and I blame my kids. I did a great job. But anyway, why don't you check out the Merry Britsmas Christmas episodes? Like, there'll be one or two episodes before Christmas. Check those out. And I don't know if he's doing it this year. If you are, Adam, me and the girls will be happy to do it again. If you check out his episodes just before Christmas in previous years, I think he'll do the rundown of their adverts. Yeah, check it out. But not till you finish listening to this rubbish. Now let's do this.
Book review. Book review.
Christmas.
Book review.
Boys and girls, do you remember a couple of episodes ago I gave away those books? You remember? Yeah? The Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories books? Well, don't you know it, I'm giving away another book, boys and girls. And this is the unofficial Elf Cookbook by Brighton Taylor. It might be Britton Taylor. B-R-Y-T-O-N Taylor. From the movie Elf, of course. And I was sent a copy of this by the marketing department. And to my shame, I was trying to arrange an interview with the author. And I was very busy because it was just before half term. And it never happened. And I got back off half term when I was away with the kids. And I was like, look, I'm really sorry about that. I was away. I'm available this date. If you want to have a chat. They didn't even bother getting back to me. And that's understandable because I did dick them around. I didn't mean to. It just happened that way. The communication wasn't the best. But they sent me a copy anyway. And I'm going to give it away to one of you lucky people. And I'm going to read out the blurb from the back. So have a listen to this. From the Candy Cane Forest to the Lincoln Tunnel, the unofficial Elf Cookbook is here to help you celebrate Christmas in true Buddy the Elf style. Relive your favourite moments inspired by the cult classic holiday movie with 75 recipes ranging from appetisers and main dishes to refreshing drinks and desserts. Get your fill of the four main food groups, candy, candy canes, candy corns and syrup, with Arctic Puffin pancakes, Mr. Narwhal's savoury tusk twists, Papa Elf's pot pies, Son of a Nutcrackle candy bark, Elf's merrymaking milk shots and more. Perfect for nostalgic Elf fans looking to recreate Buddy's Christmas cheer or families enjoying the movie together for the very first time. The unofficial Elf Cookbook makes it easier than ever to bring the magic of the North Pole and New York City to your kitchen. Don't be a cotton-headed ninny, Muggins. Enjoy the holidays all year round with these recipes sure to keep you on the nice list. And this is a lovely book, I have to say. It's got beautiful coloured pictures of, well, you know what a cookbook's like. It's got beautiful coloured pictures and all the recipes are there lined out with what you need to make them and how to make them. It's got it all in there, yeah, as I'm sure you'd imagine from a cookbook. And if you're a fan of the Elf movie, I think you'd love this book, yeah. And it's divided up into chapters, so you've got breakfast first, of course, then lunch, snacks and appetizers, dinner, desserts, which is the bit I was most interested in, to be honest, and drinks, including the world's best cup of coffee. Yeah. So, if you're a fan of the movie, maybe get yourself a copy. It's very easy to find. Just go online and look for The Unofficial Elf Cookbook by Britton Taylor, and you'll find it. But if you want to win a copy, well, it's very straightforward. All you got to do is email me. Now, remember, when I gave away Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories, it was, yeah, I'll have them. Well, there's only one book here, and I'm not going for four words. I know I made it tricky for you having to email me four whole words. I'm making it more simple, okay? It's, let's have it. That's the words I need, okay? Let's have it. Very simple. And I don't want to see an H at the start of that have, okay? It's have, not have. It's not let us have it or let me have it. It's let's have it. Okay? That's all you got to do. Email me those three words to totalchristmas@gmail.com and that lovely, hard-backed, full-colour, beautiful book could be winging its way to you just in time for Christmas. I will be doing the draw within a week of this episode going out so that I can get it posted so you definitely get it in time for Christmas. My aim is for you to get it in the first week before Christmas. So, let me remind you. Email let's have it to totalchristmas@gmail.com. That's all you got to do. Do it as soon as you've heard the episode. I will pick the name out of the hat. I'll announce the winner in the next episode, but by the time you hear the next episode, hopefully the book will already be in the post. And I know the winner of the Seth's Christmas Ghost Stories has already got our books because she emailed me and I was saying, is it Nicola McLean or Nicola McLean? And it turns out she's not clean, she's Clane. Yeah, it was Nicola McLean, and she seemed very happy with the books. And I'm sure if you win this, you'll be very happy with this. So, send it through. That's it. It's easy. Even you can do it. Even you. Now let's do this. Okay, boys and girls, so in the quiz, I was talking about Cursed Man from the Netherlands, and I was going, hang on a minute, I thought Sinterklaas was the one that they had in the Netherlands. Well, this is the deal, right? This is quite an amazing story. So, Sinterklaas was the original chap, yeah? And then all these Dutch people went over to America. Because, you know, like, New York used to be called New Amsterdam. There was a huge amount of Dutch people that went from the Netherlands to America, so they take the tradition of Sinterklaas with them, and it gets all mixed in around Christmas, because originally Sinterklaas would come on like the 6th of December or the 5th, I think, cause it's the day before Sinterklaas's Saints Day. So it all gets mixed in together, and so Santa Claus, as they change the name to gradually, he comes on Christmas Eve. That's the deal, right? Well, then that tradition has become global, like Santa Claus. You know, in the UK we only called him Father Christmas, and then we started calling him Santa Claus because, you know, the name had travelled from America and other countries. To us, the names are interchangeable. Well, that's not what happened in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, Sinterklaas or Saint Nicholas and Santa Claus, well, they're two separate people, but they don't call him Santa Claus. They call him Kerstman, which means Christmas man. Yeah. And he looks just like Santa Claus, because that's who he is. Or he looks just like Father Christmas. Yeah, but they've got two. Isn't that interesting? I can't believe I'd never knew this either. Especially because it was only last year that I covered Christmas in the Netherlands. Or was it this year? I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, now you know. So pretty much, Cursed Man or Christmas Man, he comes on Christmas Eve and delivers presents with his reindeer. It's exactly the same as Santa Claus, but under the name Cursed Man. Yeah. And it's Cursed Man that they use to sell Coca-Cola in the Netherlands. But here's the thing, from what I can gather, I don't think that many people have presents from Cursed Man as well as Sinterklaas. So I think Sinterklaas is, like I said, the 6th of December, and then come Christmas Eve, I don't know how many presents you're going to get. I'm not sure. I don't live in the Netherlands. I live in the UK. My name's Jack. But isn't that interesting? I think it is, and I hope you do too. Now let's do this.
I'm singing, I'm in a store, and I'm singing. I'm in a store, and I'm singing.
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So boys and girls, before we started the quiz, I gave you last week's scores, and I said that Martin Goodman was the only one that knew that Shawaddy Waddy sung the song Hey Mr. Christmas. Now he sent me an email, and he said he first heard the song on the Hamburg Christmas Parade in 2019. Yeah, so I thought, do you know what? I'll cover this song. Now there's not a massive amount to say about it really. So Shawaddy Waddy were a rock and roll revival group from the 1970s, and they played songs from like the 50s and 60s, and they first appeared in 1973 on a TV show in the UK called New Faces, and they won the episode they were in, and then it was like a talent show, a bit like Britain's Got Talent, or America's Got Talent, or Australia's Got Talent, whatever country's got talent. This was before then, they called it New Faces, and they won their episode, and they came second in the All Winners Final. Yeah, that was in 1973, so pretty much straight after that, they started releasing songs, and in their career, they had 23 top 40 hits in the UK, and 10 of those made it into the top 10, which is no mean feat. To get 10 top 10 hits is pretty impressive, in my opinion, anyway. My opinion counts for nothing. Yeah, so mainly their hits were in the UK, but they did have some success in Europe and also in Australia, and the band are still going today, but there's only one member of the original lineup still in the band. The original singer, his name was Dave Bartram, he sang from 1973 till 2011. 2 more years and it would have been 40 years, but he called it a day 2 years early. But he's the manager of the band now. So you've got this band, there's a whole bunch of them up on stage, they sing their songs, and they decided to release a Christmas single, and this was a non-album single, and they released it in 1974. Yeah, the song only got to number 13 in the charts, but it was on the charts for 8 weeks. Yeah, I would have thought their song would have done a little bit better, but to be honest, it ain't that great. So the lyrics generally are very Christmassy. Throw away your troubles at Christmas, make this Christmas bright, carols singing, bells are ringing, Santa comes tonight. Old folks sit by the fire, children play in the snow. It's got all that stuff going on. And then it just says, hey, Mr. Christmas. I don't know who Mr. Christmas is. I don't know if they're talking about Santa Claus or if they're talking about Dave Christmas. Probably not, because I just made him up. There could be a bloke called Dave Christmas. When my brother was at school, he had a teacher called Mr. Christmas, and apparently he got the sack because he was growing weed in the school greenhouses. That's got nothing to do with this song. Or maybe it has. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, let me play a bit more of it for you.
Throw away your troubles, it's Christmas. Make this Christmas bright. Carol sing, bells are ringing. Get your troubles and worries and kick them out the door. Don't look back, come on in. We'll just play some more.
Interesting aside, when it was originally released in the UK, the single came in a blank sleeve, but its release in Europe had a picture on it, and it was pretty much the R. Crumb picture of Keep On Trucking. Are you familiar with that? It's like a guy, he's like walking, but he's like leaning really far backwards, and he's got like 1 foot really high up. It's hard to explain if you've never seen the picture. Google Keep On Trucking. It's that picture, but the guy's wearing a Christmas hat and a bit of a Christmas cape, and he's holding a guitar. Yeah, just thought I'd mention it. So as Christmas songs go, I had heard of this one and I was really disappointed with myself that I didn't get it in the quiz last week. But it's not one that you hear that often on the radio. Yeah, I don't remember the last time I heard it, but I knew I was aware of it. It's not awful, you know. It's just what it is, I guess. Hey, Mr. Christmas, I haven't got anything else to say about it. So now let's do this. Bob, I gotta say, I love your shoes.
Thanks, Jack. You know, this week in the US, it's Thanksgiving. This is a day we have designated to show gratitude and to give thanks for all that we have and for the things that truly matter. What is surprising is how it can activate positive emotions, both within the person expressing thanks as well as the recipient. It leads to a release of feel-good chemicals like dopamine and serotonin, which create a sense of happiness. You are spreading joy not only for yourself, but to those around you. Expressing gratitude makes others feel appreciated and valued, and encourages those individuals to express gratitude to others, thus creating a chain reaction of positive emotions. And you don't need a national holiday to do it. Just ask each family member or friend to write down something they appreciate or are grateful for, and then share it with each other at a meal or when you're all gathered together. This is what we do before our Thanksgiving meal, and it shifts your perspective to focus on the best things about your life. If you know of another way to generate positive feelings, you convey it to Jack, he'll show it to me, and together we'll spread our arms and our thanks around the world.
Yeah, I hope you are going to all bear that one in mind. I think it's delightful. Bob, of course, is one of the hosts of the podcast, The Festive Foreign Film Fans. And it's that time of year, boys and girls. I won't lie to you, I don't watch Christmas films all year round. I tend to wait till mid to late November before I start watching them. And now is the time to be watching something new, something maybe that's foreign. Check out Bob's podcast. He's got loads of foreign films on there, and I'm sure you'll find one you really enjoy. Thanks again, Bob. Now we're going to do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a
humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol, I first became aware of this 4 years ago in 2020. I can't remember quite how I found it or what happened, but it's a rude retelling of A Christmas Carol read by Brian Harvey. Most people won't know who Brian Harvey is if you're not in the UK. He was a singer in a band called E17. Now, E17 was like a boy band, one of the earliest ones from the 90s. They were a bit more edgy than your average boy band. They weren't clean cut. They had some decent hits, a couple of number ones, I think. And their biggest hit was a Christmas number one, which I've talked about a number of times on the show before. I'll play a bit for you now. Yeah, that's a classic, that is. It's one of those Christmas-adjacent ones, so it doesn't mention Christmas in it at all, but the video's a bit Christmassy, and also it has got, like, big chiming gongs at the end, so that sort of makes it sound even more festive. It's a lovely song, and it is a yearly classic. Yeah, one of the big ones. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his rude retellings. Now, this started as a 7-part podcast. It was made by Create Podcasts. I've never heard of them before. But it's hosted by Acast, which you might have heard of. I've definitely heard of Acast. They're a podcast producer. I think they're based in the UK. They've got lots of popular ones out there. I've listened to a few of them, and I've recommended a few of theirs as well. Anyway, now, it was 7 episodes, and the first 4 episodes came out on the 7th of December 2020. And the next 3 came out on the 14th of December 2020. Now, since then, he did Romeo and Juliet, a rude retelling of that. And then at Christmas 2021, he did an episode where he just covered 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And then he also covered The Nutcracker as well. Now, I've listened to the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas one. Wasn't that good? I haven't listened to the other two. I might give The Nutcracker a listen this Christmas. Since 2021, since The Nutcracker came out, there's not been any more of this. I don't really know what Brian Harvey's up to these days. I'll tell you an interesting thing, though. This band, E17, right, there was 4 of them. You had a chap called Tony Mortimer. He wrote the songs and sung a bit. Then you had Brian Harvey, who was like the main singer, like the front man. And then you had these 2 other nondescript guys that used to sort of dance in the background and do occasional backings. Now, the band is still going, but only with 1 member of the original gang, and that is one of these nondescripts at the back who most people wouldn't even know his name. I don't know his name. And now it's only a 3-piece, so the other 2 are just some randoms, and I don't know how many gigs they're getting. I don't know if they just do private stuff. I don't know. I just thought I'd mention it. Anyway, so this is like a heavily abridged audio version of A Christmas Carol. They've cut out lots of little bits, but they've kept a lot of bits in as well. And the whole point is, it's a rude version. So generally, it's got a lot of swears in it. So if you don't like swearing, well, you're not going to like this much at all. Yeah. So I'm going to run through it, what they've kept, what they haven't kept. And yeah, I'll give you an overview at the end. So it starts off telling you about Scrooge. Do you know, I'm going to play a little bit for you. I'm not going to bleep it out. There's some big swears in there. But then you get the picture of what it starts off like, okay? It does actually evolve as it goes through. But have a listen to this bit.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you, came the cry from his nephew. Bah humbug, fuck off, I don't want to come round your house, came the reply from Scrooge. Fred couldn't understand why his uncle would see Christmas as a humbug. It was supposed to be a day of joy, of fun, a day of getting pissed with no work.
Okay, so you get the picture now. So Fred comes in and they chat together, nothing major different there, just a bit of swearing rather than a normal conversation. Then, a little bit annoyed about this, a couple of charity collectors come in. Now, we all know that they're not charity collectors. They are men of business in the book, but they come in on Christmas Eve because they're trying to do their bit for the community. So it bothered me that they're referred to as charity collectors, but you know, this is slightly dumbed down, not just abridged, but also dumbed down for your, well, I suppose to try and impress the listeners that are going to be impressed by lots of swears, maybe. Anyway, you don't get the little bit with the carol singer at the door, but you do get the bit with Bob Cratchit asking for Christmas Day off. And then Scrooge leaves. There's no bit where they mention the tavern, but when he gets home, there's a lot of kids playing outside and he tells them to clear off. I don't think he says clear. I think he says something else off. And he sees the face in the door knocker. And then he goes upstairs and we get Marley's ghost. Now, this annoyed me. This one bit, okay? Have a listen to this.
What do you want with me, Marley? He asked, trying to sound brave and hide how shit scared he was. Much.
So you hear that? He said, what do you want with me, Marley? Okay? And then the next question, he says this.
Who are you? Followed up Scrooge.
I think you know who he is, mate, because you just said his name. And he'd actually said it a couple of times before that as well. So, yeah, just what was that about? Now, also, when I say about they've dumbed down the dialogue, let me play a little bit for you so you get the idea of what I mean about that. Have a listen.
In life, I was evil and shut out the world. Now I have to travel it, but with the burden of all my sins.
So if you're familiar with the book, you'd know that that's not how the conversation goes. The language that's used and the terms that they use are very different. But like I say, it's been dumbed down. Then while they're chatting, there's this awful joke. Have a listen to this.
You will be haunted by three spirits. Vodka, rum, and gin. A tumbleweed passed between them, and Marley plowed ahead.
At least they make a point that it is an awful joke. And then Marley leaves. So then we've got the ghost of Christmas past. And I like this bit. Have a listen to this.
Two kids ran past him, yelling to each other. That's Jack, he remarked as he tried to shout out to him.
Yeah, I made an appearance, didn't I? It's good, isn't it? And you know, he doesn't see anyone called Jack in the book. No, they added that for me. Possibly. Probably not. They didn't add it for me. Then he goes to school and there's Fan, and apart from a few swears, there's not much difference to the book actually in that, apart from they've shortened it a little bit, but there's that. Then we get Fezziwigs, and nearly the whole scene of this is swear and joke free. Yeah, there's hardly any swears, hardly any jokes. Some people would appreciate that, but it's not really a rude retelling, is it? Then we get the scene with Belle, and it says he's middle-aged at this point. Well, in the book, I don't think he's suggesting he's middle-aged. He's just not as young as when he was working at Fezziwigs. I'm guessing he's early to mid-20s, to be honest. And then, listen to this bit.
Another idol has displaced me, and if it can cheer and comfort you in time to come, as I would have tried to do, I have no just cause to grieve. What idol has displayed you?
I don't think that's meant to be a joke, that he says, who's displayed you? I think he's just not read it very well, and no one could be bothered to get him to record it again. I don't quite know what was going on, you know, I don't know who wrote this. If the person who wrote this, they go, no, it's not displayed, it's just, oh, forget it. Anyway, they did forget it, they ignored that, and we don't get the scene where Belle is remarried and she's got the kids and that's not in it. So then we get the Ghost of Christmas Present. He turns up, and the description's sort of there, that, you know, the big ghost is in the room, but they don't mention any food. You know, like he's sat on this huge pile of, well, they list it all, don't they? They list all the food that he's all sat on. They don't bother with that. Not at all. Not one single sausage. Literally, not a single sausage. I mean, it would have been nice if they'd said, you know, he was sat there on a sausage, but they didn't. And that bothered me mildly. Not massively, mildly. Then they're out in the street and he's sprinkling his torch. And I like this bit because it talks about some people arguing, which is in the book. But you've got the background bit, so have a listen to this.
The peace was monumentally disturbed as a jostle broke out in the bakers between some dinner carriers. But the spirit sprinkled incense on their dinners from his torch and the Christmas joy was restored.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from. If they recorded that themselves, or they just got some stock footage for a couple of people arguing. No idea, but it was in there. Then we get to the Cratchits, and I don't know what's going on with this bit, but have a listen to what they're saying here.
And Martha wasn't as late last Christmas Day. Here's Martha's mother, said one of the girls looking out of the window. Well, at least one of them had a bloody watch. The two young Cratchits cried the same with joy. Here's Martha's mother. Here's Martha's mother.
I don't know why they're saying Martha's rather than just Martha. Here's Martha, mother. They're saying, here's Martha's mother. if you listen to the rest of it, they're not saying it's Martha's mum has turned up. Martha has turned up, but for some reason he's chucked an S in there. I don't get it. This whole scene, again, it hardly any swears. He just tells what happens, but with less flowery dialogue than you'd get in the book. Bit dumbed down again. I was missing the swears at this point. Where's my swears? It's meant to be a rude retelling. I started throwing a few in for myself. It was fine. Then we go to Fred's, and Fred's, there is a bit of swears. It's pretty much exactly the same scene as in the book, but with added swear words. They haven't added any particular jokes, just lots of swears. Yeah. And then after they leave Fred's, they visit some other places, and it's always nice when they do that, because a lot of versions only have him at Bob's and Fred's, and I like the fact that, you know, they talked about him going to other places to see other people celebrating Christmas. Then we get Ignorance and Want, and there's no jokes at all or swears with that bit. Yeah, so there's that. And then he goes back to his bedroom after this bit, and that bothered me, because in the book he don't go back to his bedroom. He's still on the street when the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come turns up. I don't know why they did that. I don't think they're paying attention, to be honest. I don't know why they made that decision, but that's what they've done. So the Ghost of Christmas Future, you've got the men in the street, and it's both scenes of the men in the street are discussed, and they've dumbed it down a bit and shortened it a tiny bit, but no jokes or swears. Yeah, but then we get this bit. Have a listen to this.
He looks about the city for the very place he would be upon that time. Seriously, this fucking Dickens chap needs to sort out his fucking fancy wording. Bottom line, he couldn't see himself where he would expect to be.
And that bothered me, because I'm listening to this whole book thinking, well, they've dumbed down the whole thing, so now why start acting like you're using Dickens' words at this point, when through the whole book you haven't? Even when they're using flowery language, often it's not the language that Dickens used. So, yeah, I just thought that was pointless, that joke. Or what would have been better is if they'd done that joke right at the start, and then from that point onwards it doesn't matter that he's not using the language that Dickens would use, because he's made a point of it and he can just use his own modern day language as he likes. But they decided to do that right near the end. I don't know. Then you get the scene with old Joe, and again that's shortened but with no jokes or swears. Then you get the scene where there's the body in the bedroom, and again no jokes or swears. Then you get the couple. Do you remember the couple? Because you've got the bit where Scrooge says, show me some emotion connected to this death. So the ghost takes them to this couple that owes Scrooge money, and they're all happy he's dead because it means they don't have to worry about their debt for a while. Again, that bit, no swears. Then we get the Cratchits, and again, this is the same as in the book, but shortened down with no swears or jokes. And then we get the grave, and again, no swears, no jokes. To be honest, that whole bit with the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, you'd only have to tweak it a tiny bit, take out a couple of little jokes that actually are in there, and a couple of one or two swears that are in between the scenes. Take them out, and it's not even a rude retelling, it's just a naff retelling of A Christmas Carol. Anyway, then he wakes up, and we've got the boy in the street. There's no walker at all. I would have thought he'd have the boy as some little foul-mouthed git just swearing at Scrooge, but nope, that didn't happen. But then he does say this, listen.
The one as big as my head, sir.
Yeah, but then he talks about the turkey later, and it's massive. And to be honest, a turkey that's as big as your head is a pretty small bloody turkey. If I had a turkey for Christmas that was the size of my head, well, we might all get a half-decent meal out of it, but there'd be no leftovers for sandwiches later on or anything. And I'm talking to the family of four of us. If it's more than four people, you're out. Forget it. You've blown it. And this is a boy. His head's got to be smaller than mine. I'm a full-grown man. Pointless. Why don't you just say the one as big as me? Anyway, Scrooge goes around the streets, sees the charity collectors, and again, they're referred to as charity collectors, gives them some money, no swears. Then he goes to the Cratchits, and they do the scene, like, you know, on Mickey's Christmas Carol or a Muppet's Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is all moody, going, why aren't you at work? And then he gives them the turkey, and that's pretty much the end. Yeah, he doesn't go to Fred's, and we don't get the bit after, obviously, when Cratchit goes into work on Boxing Day. So that was it, and it was all right. I enjoyed it the first time I listened to it, but I remember even then, like, because I listened to it, I think, back in 2020. It might have been the year after I listened to it, I don't know. Anyway, I remember when I first listened to it, thinking, it starts off a lot funnier and ruder than it does at the end. At the end, it's just him retelling the story with the odd swear in there, and not many jokes. And I'm no fantastic comedy writer, which is a lie, because I am, and I've written two novels, and I've talked about them on a podcast, and why haven't you bought them or read them? Huh? Yeah. Where was I? Oh, yeah. I reckon I could have done a better job. Because there's a lot of bits in it where I'm thinking they missed a good gag there. Or they could have had another funny bit there. I know what I would have said in that situation would have been funnier. They chose not to do it. I don't know what to say. It was what it was. If you want to check it out, you know, by all means, check it out. All you've got to type in is A Christmas Carol Rude Retelling and you'll find it and you can have a listen. One downside to it is, though, this is 7 episodes. Each episode is between sort of 7 and 10 minutes long. But they've got adverts at the start and end. So, yeah, I listened to it the other day with the adverts and then I edited it. So I took off the adverts from the start and the finish. There's none in the middle, which is good. But I took the adverts off the start and the finish and it reduced the time significantly. Yeah, the whole thing was less than an hour. Anyway, if you want to check it out, I'm not going to stop you. Like I say, I've listened to it a number of times. I don't dislike it. It's just I think they could have done better. That's all. Yeah, now let's do this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is called Miranda. Now, this was a sitcom that ran in the UK for 3 years, and I know it's a bit of a joke in the States that our sitcoms don't have many episodes. This one doesn't have many episodes. It's 20 episodes altogether, and it's just a delightful sitcom. It was written by Miranda Hart. She's very funny. And it became a bit of a sensation, this sitcom did. It's really good, really funny. I think you'll enjoy it. It's fun for all the family. There's no swearing in it. There's no rude jokes or anything. It's just funny. Check it out if you can. It's called Miranda, starring Miranda Hart. And they've got 2 Christmas specials in there. One of which is particularly good. The other one is more Christmas adjacent. So that is this episode's recommendation. It's the BBC sitcom Miranda. Why not check it out? Me and the wife have just rewatched it again these last few weeks and enjoyed every episode of it. Yeah. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget, if you want to win that book, you know, the one with the recipes inspired by Elf the movie, all you got to do is email me, let's have it, and I'll put your name in the hat. You could be the lucky winner. And of course, make sure you email me through your score from the quiz. I'll be back again in 2 weeks. So actually, I say 2 weeks. We're getting a bit closer to December, and I was going to try and squeeze in 3 episodes before Christmas. So I might be back a bit earlier. So if you're not subscribing, you might want to subscribe because you might find the episode actually drops a few days earlier. It might not. I don't know. It just depends how organised I am, I guess. Anyway, I'll be back sooner or later. Not later, though. It'll be sooner or the normal time. I'll be back sooner or the normal time. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch, you can email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com or go on the website, that's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again. Well, we've discussed that. Yeah, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Some of us are endeavouring to raise a fund for the poor and the homeless. What might I put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone.